I don't know about you, but I'm a list maker. I write a to-do list every day. And Judy, our volunteer secretary, can attest to the large stacks of to-do lists left from the days before on my desk. And it's not just now. I was a strange child, and I wrote down lists of goals every 9 weeks. And I actually stuck to them and looked forward to like crossing them off one by one. And I'm really wishing that I was still that diligent, because that would be really awesome. But naturally, my list-making, those instincts, they led me to see the world in lists. In my mind, things clearly became good and bad, do's and don'ts. These people fit here. These other type of people belong over here. And for much of my childhood, that's the way I viewed people, and that's the way I viewed my faith. Do this and do that, and voila, you're a good Christian. My whole worldview was cloaked in these black and white lists. I categorized everything, and I was certain that I knew exactly where they belonged. And it was scripture passages kind of like today's that reinforced my desire to make these lists. I looked at this passage and ones like it, and I saw just another set of lists. Don't focus on what is earthly. Do set your mind on things that are above. Don't fall prey to lying, impurity, evil desires, anger. Do clothe yourself in the new self that's renewed according to the image of Christ. Christians do these things. Christians don't do these things. And in all the list making, I think I kind of missed the whole point. You see, being a Christian isn't about a list of laws or do's and don'ts. It's about identity in Christ. It's about a new mode of operation, one that requires formation and moving beyond a moral code. And that's what the author of our scripture today is getting at. It's about putting on Christ in baptism and living into the vow that we made when we joined the church. Our identity in Christ, it might begin by following the lists, but it certainly goes beyond that. Our scripture passage today, it ends saying, clothe yourself with a new self, not only in actions, but in being, that we may be renewed in knowledge according to the image of God. That in that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, because Christ is all and is in all. This renewal, it destroys the categories by which we live. It destroys the divisions that we've become complacent to in our society. It destroys the categories that I just placed people in growing up. And this eradication of division, it seems really freeing. And it is. It seems like something that we as Christians and simply as human beings would be on board with all the time. But amidst the joy and the beauty of this, of becoming one in the body of Christ, it can be terrifying to live in a world where God breaks down the barriers that we've become accustomed to, where our categories are shattered, where the structures of the world that we know are forever altered, where our God can take illiterate fishermen and make them the disciples who carry the faith and transform the world. Coming together in the unity in the body is hard. It's downright messy. It's difficult to leave our own ways of seeing the world behind. And when I think of this, I'm reminded of Javert in Les Miserables. If you haven't read the classic Les Mis or seen the Broadway musical or played the CD a gajillion times like I have, or watch the movie that came out a few years back, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness because I am going to share a plot line from it. But the good news is that there's no way to spoil or ruin this movie. The story is good regardless. You can't mess that up. But in the story, Javert, he's a prison guard who later becomes a police inspector. He lives by the list. He does all of the do's and none of the don'ts. He prides himself on being a very moral man. And he sees the world as simply black and white, yes or no, right or wrong. And because of this framework, Javert sees the main character, Jean Valjean, as simply evil. You see, Jean Valjean, in the beginning of the story, he steals a loaf of bread for his hungry nephew. And because of that, he's sentenced to years in prison. And he spends all that time doing hard labor for that petty little crime. And I'm not trying to say whether what Jean Valjean did is right or wrong, but as the years go by, whenever Javert looks at Jean Valjean, all he can see is his crime. After getting out of prison, Jean Valjean he's spared by the church, by this priest that he meets, and he's given a new Christian identity, an identity that he lives into to its fullest. But Javert, he sees none of it. To Javert, Jean Valjean is still a thief, a prisoner, and nothing more. After a lifetime of being chased by Javert, Jean Valjean invites Javert into unity because Javert finds himself in danger at one point, and Jean Valjean intervenes and he saves his life and he takes that moment to forgive him for everything that Javert has done to him throughout his life, chasing him after he served his sentence. But despite this, Javert is unable to see past the lists, to see past what made him a thief all those years ago. See, Javert is unwilling to live in a world that breaks down barriers. He can't see that there's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, prisoner or freed person. And because of this, because he can't deal with a life without those categories, Javert takes his own life. Because he can't imagine a world where God might redeem those who commit crimes and then use those same people for God's good work. Because he can't see that in Christ there is no division between the convict and the person who's never broken the law. Because he can't see past those categories. It makes no sense to us, but it makes sense to God. Javert was a good and a moral man. He was a Christian, but he refused to let God be a God that breaks down barriers. Our scripture passage speaks of divisions in the first century church, of Jews and Greeks, barbarians and Scythians. Les Mis speaks of divisions that Christians faced in the 18th century in France. But these divisions, they still exist today. I think the passage might read a little differently in our current context. Instead of speaking of Jews and Greeks, today it reads, "No longer are we divided rich or poor, black and white, Hispanic and Arabic, citizen or immigrant, young or old, intelligent or ignorant, Protestant or Catholic, conservative or liberal. By putting on the things from above and clothing ourselves in Christ, it means that ultimately we're not defined by our divisions, by our wealth or lack thereof, by our skin color or other people's opinions of us. Instead, we dare to imagine what God can do when we move past our lists, when we move past what we've decided is right or wrong and who belongs and who doesn't, when we remember that Christ is all and is in all, we begin to tear down our earthly divisions, the ones that have no place in God's kingdom. This weekend, my husband Adam went to a friend's wedding in North Carolina. And so I decided that I would drive up to Arkansas, where my family was gathered for the weekend. I met up with my mom and my dad and my sisters and their kids at a cabin on a lake in Arkansas. There is nothing like having 11 people in one cabin and on one boat. 11 of us bookers, all alike in so many ways, yet so different. It was tight quarters, and let's just say I got some good practice on how to try to live into the scripture of not letting anger and some of those other negative attributes from the don't list end up in our family vacation time. And for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to learn how to wakeboard while we were up there. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what wakeboarding is, I really wasn't until this weekend either. Wakeboarding is to water skiing what snowboarding is to snow skiing. And so my 12-year-old nephew was going to teach me how to wakeboard. I started seeing the benefits of a do's and don'ts list once I was behind the boat. And I think he did too. He really enjoyed getting to yell those things out at me. Do let the boat pull you up. Don't stand up or muscle up on your own. Do allow the handle to lower to the side of your hips. Don't ankle the board to the side. Do keep the board straight. Or you'll go over the wake so fast that you'll fly through the air over the wake, flail for a few dramatic moments, and then fall in such a fashion that you remember why mid-30-year-olds don't learn new water tricks. But needless to say, my nephew's list of what to do and don't do was a great guide in helping me to learn how to wakeboard this weekend. But it also reminded me that the list of do's and don'ts, they only take us so far. At some point, I just had to rely on what was inside of me. That is what guided me. It's what guides us when we're flying over the wake, maybe of the boat, maybe of life, heading God knows where. And that's what our scripture reminds us of today. It says, here's a list of do's and don'ts. But most importantly, Christ is all, and Christ is in all. So put on a new self and choose Christ. Amen.